Thank you so much. Sorry, it's a slight Helen show this morning, isn't it? If we haven't met, my name is Helen. It is lovely to see so many faces this morning. I am one of the leaders here at St. Leonard's. If we haven't met, I would love to meet you at the end of the service. And as Alex said, don't forget, if you're new, head to the Connect desk, fill out a Connect form. We'd love to be in touch to help you settle into St. Leonard's. Like Alex said, this morning I get the absolute privilege of sharing our vision here for St. Leonard's for these next few months. And I am going to share with you what I believe and what we as a leadership team believe God is calling us to as a church. Now, the beginning of a new academic year is a great point, I always think, to take stock, to look back at what has happened and look ahead at the year to come. And if I'm honest, this last year at St. Leonard's has been a really strange one. It's been a stripping back season. It's been painful at points when we had to stop running things like Youth Cafe. And Sam and I are very aware that you've had to bear with us whilst we figured out how to lead in this weird, strange season. But when I look back over the last 9 months, I can see God's grace and mercy all over us, all over our life as a community together. We've made mistakes along the way, but I can see that we've all grown and we've actually become way more dependent on God. At the beginning of January, I spoke on a Sunday morning about what I hoped for the year ahead for our church, what I was asking God for in St. Leonard's. And what I was asking him for was more of him and his rule in us and in Hove. And I was thinking about this more. What does more of God and more of his rule look like? Does it look like more in terms of numbers? More people coming here on a Sunday morning? Maybe it's deeper than that. I was challenged when I was listening to a preach where they said, it's not wrong to desire growth, but could it be that revival this year will be more about true discipleship of 100 people rather than filling rooms Sunday after Sunday? And that's what we've been pressing into in these last few months. Not perfectly, by any means, but through discipleship, constantly trying to put God at the center of all we do again and again. And Sam and I, along with the staff team, have been praying for us as a church, seeking God for what he's calling us to, as many of you have in this week of prayer. Thanks so much for praying, for signing up for slots in the week, for coming to Kingdom Come. Your prayers will and do make a difference. And I have been reminded so much this week that we are in a spiritual battle, and we need us all playing our part and praying together. So what is our vision for St. Leonard's? Well, we think it can be condensed into this one line, to be a beacon of light for the community and a place of freedom. Now, what is a beacon? A beacon is a light that shines out into darkness. It's something that you can see from far away. It guides, it draws, it gives direction. Think of a lighthouse. It doesn't exist for itself, it exists for others. It stands on the shore so that people who are lost and in danger can find safety. And that's a picture of what we believe God is calling us to be here in Hove. We're not just a gathering of people that enjoy being together on a Sunday morning, but we're a spiritual family who shine the light of Jesus so that others can find hope, freedom, and life in him. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 14 to 16, "You are the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." That's our calling. But how do we live it out? I'd love to break our vision down of being a beacon of light for the community and a place of freedom into 5 characteristics that we want to grow in. So number 1, it's already on the screen, a family on a mission. I think you've heard me say this quite a few times in the last few weeks, but the Bible says in Ephesians 2, verse 19, "You are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household." We're not just acquaintances who happen to attend the same service. We're not consumers who show up for a religious product. We are the household of God. We belong to one another. And in a family, everyone has a role. Some encourage, some protect, some lead, but we are all part of something bigger. And family means together. And we've talked about this in the last few weeks. We believe God is wanting to lead us into a different way of looking after our kids and youth in this area. We really feel that St. Leonard's, we are called to love, serve, and care, not only for the under-18s that are in our St. Leonard's community, but also the under-18s of our city. We have had multiple prophetic words and pictures about St. Leonard's being a place where kids and young people find Jesus. We're going to be looking at how we do that as a church, how we can learn from one another, and we can worship as one big family of God. We're going to lean into intergenerational worship with all-age services at this service, the 11, every other week. We're going to be seeking God together, all ages and stages. And we as adults need to model to the kids of our church what church looks like, how we worship. But we need to learn from the kids about what it means to be children of God. And this family isn't just inward facing. We're a family on a mission. Just like a lighthouse isn't built to shine its light inside and keep it inside, but we are built to shine our light out to sea. We don't gather just to look at one another and make ourselves feel better. We gather to shine into our city. So that's my point, my first point. Number two, we are led by the Holy Spirit and rooted in the Word. Think about it this way. A beacon cannot shine without power. You can build the most beautiful lighthouse, but without power, without a light inside, it's just a tower. And what gives us the power to shine? It's the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 17 says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Spirit opens hearts to be able to understand the gospel. And when we understand the good news about Jesus, the Spirit brings freedom from guilt, from shame, from condemnation and sin. It's the Spirit that empowers us. He guides us. He fills us with boldness and love. And alongside the Spirit, we've got to be rooted in the Word. We need both Spirit and Word. We preach in the Bible here on Sundays. We study it together in small groups. And hopefully, we all read our Bibles regularly. The Bible is the Word of God. Psalm 119 says, your word is a lamp to my feet. Hebrews 4 says, for the word of God is alive and active. Matthew 4 says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Scripture, the Bible, the word of God gives and sustains life. To be a healthy church today, we all need to be feeding daily on the word of God. It is truth and life for us. We will shine brightly and consistently by being filled with the Spirit and grounded in Scripture. Number three, we want wholehearted worship with Jesus at the center. In John 8, verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Notice he doesn't just give light. He is light, which means that all light we reflect as a church doesn't come from us, it comes from him. That's why worship matters so much. Worship recenters our lives on Jesus. It reminds us that he is Lord of our lives, he's Lord of our church, and he's Lord of our city. And worship is more than singing on a Sunday. Romans 12 verse 1 says, worship is offering our whole lives to God. It's our words, it's our choices, it's our work, it's our relationship. They can all shine with the light of Jesus when he's at the center. Number four, an authentic grace-filled community. 1 John 1 says, if we walk in the light as he is light, we have fellowship with one another. Light does two things. It exposes and it heals. When we walk in the light, we don't have to hide. We can be honest, we can be vulnerable, and we can be real about the struggles that we all have. And in a world that's often lonely, divided, and filled with performance pressure, people are desperate for authentic community. When you don't have to pretend, and when you're loved and known just as you are. I like to think of it as a greenhouse. I'm not very green-fingered, but plants grow in a greenhouse, apparently, but only when the conditions are right. You need light, you need warmth, and you need care. And our church family should be a greenhouse for people's souls, a place where we can flourish. I can't say the word. Flourish, because God is here, and grace and love are present. That's what it means to be a place of freedom, not a place where we're bound by fear or shame, but where people encounter the love and grace of Jesus that sets them free. And my fifth characteristic that I'd love us to press in is generously serving one another and our neighborhoods. Isaiah 58:10 says, if you spend yourself on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. Light doesn't ask for payment, it just gives. And that's what we're called to live. That's how we're called to live, not with a scarcity mindset, but with generosity of time, of energy, of money, of love, of a nice coffee and a nice pastry when people arrive on a Sunday morning. every detail of church together can show our generosity to the people we come into contact with. And serving generously shows people the love of Jesus in action. A meal delivered, a listening ear, an offer of prayer or volunteering, caring for a neighbour. These are beams of light that will cut through the darkness in our city. And as we serve, the light of Jesus shines through us into our community. Generously serving will include giving money. Next week, Sam's going to be doing the second part of our vision and gift, looking specifically at gift. And I would love to encourage you all to be praying about this week, what God's calling you to give in terms of time and money. It'll be a great way to start practicing generosity, which is something we all need to practice. So what does it look like to be a beacon of light for the community and a place of freedom? It means being a family on a mission together. It means being led by the Spirit and rooted in the Word. It means living lives of wholehearted worship with Jesus at the center. It means building authentic, grace-filled community. And it means generously serving one another and our community. Our neighborhoods, even. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 puts it beautifully. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Friends, this is our calling. It's not just to go to church, but to be church, a beacon of light for our community, a place where people can encounter the freedom in Jesus. And this is the culture that we're building together. Now, the world can feel like a very dark place at the moment. The wars, the state of politics, both here and across the world, the hate between people, racism, violence, death, pain, and darkness. I don't know about you, but sometimes it can feel like I am carrying a heaviness when I look at the world. We can be led to ask, where is God? Where's the hope? And if we sit in that pain, it can feel like a vortex pulling us down into despair. But God's plan is for us, the church, to bring hope to the world, to bring the message of his love for the world, that he is with us in the mess, that he is moving and working, despite what it looks like. God is moving at the moment. Jesus is on the move. And recently, I keep hearing story after story about God doing something in our nation and across the world. As Alex shared, there are so many people wanting to hear about Alpha. And more people are engaging with Alpha this year than any year before. People are hungry to hear the good news and learn about Jesus. There are estimates currently at the moment that more than 3 million people around the world will do Alpha this year. Isn't that amazing? No? Yes? Yeah, great, thanks. In April, the Bible Society released a report called The Quiet Revival, and in it it states, church decline in England and Wales has not only stopped, but the church is growing, as Gen Z leads an exciting turnaround in church attendance. The report says that the most dramatic church growth is among young adults, particularly young men. In 2018, just 4% of 18 to 24-year-olds said that they attended church at least monthly. Today, says the Quiet Revival, this has risen to 16%, so it's quadrupled, with a noticeable rise in the proportion of young men attending. Isn't that incredible? Young people are turning to Jesus. And there have been articles, in the local and national newspapers about Gen Z returning to church. There was one in the Times most recently about Full Fat Faith. Young Christian converts are filling churches. My brother runs a church, and he took his youth to an event called New Day for a week in the summer, which is a youth camp. There were 12,000 young people there on site for a week. And in the week they had together, there were 489 reported healings, and 760 young people said yes to following Jesus for the first time. Isn't that amazing? Those 12,000 young people gave an offering of over £183,000 to go towards church plants and New Day in 2026 so that more young people can hear about Jesus. In July, there was a headline in the news that said, hundreds gather for mass baptisms in the sea. Just along the coast in Bournemouth, hundreds of people took part in an outdoor service which saw 92 people baptised in the sea, with congregations coming from 5 churches across Bournemouth together. And our own story, 16 years ago, a few people moved from London to Brighton to open St. Peter's Brighton. In those 16 years since the faithful people started meeting in a church where, let's be honest, the ceiling was likely to fall on their head at any point, God has done way more than we could imagine. From that one church, and you can see on this, the family tree, I'd like to call it, from that one church, St. Peter's Brighton, there have been 8 church plants. And those plants have planted churches. And those plants have now planted churches. St. Peter's has grandkids. And there are now 21 new or revived churches linked to St. Peter's in only 16 years. And we are one of them. Now on a Sunday morning, there are 7 churches within our St. Peter's family of churches in Brighton and Hove, representing hundreds of people who are loving Jesus in their neighbourhoods all over the city. And that's just our family of churches. There are so many other churches across the city doing the same thing. Here at St. Leonard's, we've grown from an average attendance on a Sunday of 15 people in 2019 to gathering regularly over 140 adults plus 50-ish kids each week. St. Richard's in Hollingdene, which is part of the family of churches, grew from no congregation in 2019 to an average weekly attendance of 98 in 2023. And across the St. Peter's family of churches, an average of 222 under-18s engage with learning about Jesus each week. And on average, 50 of those are in our congregation. Last year in our family of churches, over 100 young people took part in Youth Alpha. God is doing something in our city and our nation. At Focus, we heard of story after story of people coming to know Jesus. There were people who had been woken up in the middle of the night with a dream of Jesus and are now following him. There are people choosing to follow him, families coming to know Jesus and find hope. And we're going to show a video that was shown at Focus, and I feel like it encapsulates everything that I really want to say.
Oh Lord, we have heard you speaking from the coastal towns to neighborhood estates, from city centers to ancient cathedrals. You've reached into the hearts of your people, depleted and despairing. You have lifted our heads above the mire, resurrecting the fire growing cold. We remember the words of old. Jeremiah spoke of gardens growing in exile, and Joel prophesied a day when the young would awake to the reason they were made. We've seen it. A wave not of water, but of wonder. A quiet revival. A generation saying yes to the only one who has never and will never lie to them. The God who comes beside them, who stands in the fire with them. We bear witness to the hunger, a sound not of superficial thunder, but a deep, secure assurance. Despite our falling and our failing, time and again, you are moving in our nation and you are faithful to the end. From the rolling hills of the north to the harbors of the south, from the highlands through the midlands, from the worn pews to inner city youth, you are raising up leaders and believers, meeting the cynical and the curious, asking questions about the truth. It has always been you, and it will always be you. We've heard the rumors that Aslan is on the move, and we believe it. Men and women have begun dreaming, living to see the prayers they once prayed on bent knees now coming to be. The hope of restoration, a strange warming of hearts towards the scandalous grace of God. Lord, help us move beyond the melody until our worship looks like dirty hands, dusty feet, and arms embracing enemies. Until our praise transcends the music, for those who worship in spirit and truth always have scars to prove it. Oh Lord, use us, send us, hear our prayer. We are desperate for you to move, unqualified, underprepared, but dependent upon you. This is New Testament. You have broken every box and bumper sticker sentiment. Jesus is the evidence. The four walls have fallen down. We are the walking temple, those who represent his temperament. Oh God, we are on the precipice, but the revival will not be televised. We'll see it in our neighbors' lives. The transformation of society as we wake up and come alive and bridge the space and break the walls that separate. Now's the time to sound the call and be that change we're praying for. Lord, help us remember. We are standing on the prayers of those who came before us, and we are breaking the soil for those who will come after. We are a city on a hill, a beacon that refracts the light of your mercy and the glory of your splendor. You are God, and we are the people of your pastures. So may we hear your voice and not harden our hearts. For we believe, O God, that you are only getting started.
So my question to ask is, do you believe God is only just getting started? Are you dreaming of God on the move here? Are you desperate? Because I know I am. And I know the rest of the staff team are desperate for God to move here. I don't want God to pass us by. I want to see God move in power here in Brighton and Hove. Do you believe God is the answer? Are we going to be the change that we're praying for? I don't think I can express how much I long for more and more people to come to know Jesus, to know that they are loved by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I long to share the gospel with our community, to see lives transformed, to hear story after story after story of God's mercy and goodness. Do you want that? I want to see freedom for the captive. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Are you willing to say yes to this call? Are you willing to be with us on this journey together? Because I believe with all of my heart that this is what God is calling us to be a beacon of light for our community and a place of freedom, pointing people to Jesus, the light and the hope of the world and who the world desperately needs to meet. We grow as that beacon of light by being a family on a mission, by being led by the Spirit and rooted in the Word, by living lives of wholehearted worship with Jesus at the center, by building authentic, grace-filled community and generously serving one another and our neighborhoods. And this isn't just worked out by Sam and I and the rest of the staff team. It's not just a few core people who can faithfully serve. No, this vision needs each and every one of us to play our part. Every single one of us who calls St. Leonard's home need to play our part to do this. So are you up for playing your part at St. Leonard's? Are you ready to go again? To give your all, to step out in faith and see what God will do. And it will take us all stepping out in faith, doing things that will fail without God's involvement. It will take restarting Alpha and all of us asking a couple of people to come. People in our city are wanting to be asked to come and learn about Jesus. This takes us all. Are you up for being part of it? My prayer is that we would be a people who do not shine our light, don't keep it selfishly hidden, but shine it boldly that our city may see Jesus through us. I'd love us to stand in response. I asked for this verse in Isaiah to be read at the 9 o'clock this morning, and I would love to read it over us as a community. So if you're willing, maybe you want to close your eyes, maybe you want to hold out your hands. We need the Holy Spirit to come and help us, don't we? We cannot do this by ourselves. And in Isaiah 61, it says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has anointed you, St. Leonard's, to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for a display of his splendor." And I felt like that and the verse in Chronicles about if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. I feel like those two verses are for us this morning. And in response, I would love us to actually pray for one another. It's not just a few people that are just going to come to the front. We need us all to play our part this morning. So if you're willing, I would love you to put a hand on the shoulder of the people next to you. Just in kind of a response of we are together. This isn't just one person. It's not just me and the staff team. It is all of us together have a part to play. So we're going to pray for one another. Jesus, we humbly come before you now as a community, as a family together. God, we humbly say to you that we need you. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and flood us as a people together. We cannot do this without you. We can't even get our hearts going without you. We need you, Holy Spirit, to come and inspire us. Come and help us go again. Come and help us have the energy to do this again. God, we say that we declare that you are the hope of the world. That the whole point of us being here is for you and you alone. God, again, I say, if you're not here, I don't want to be here. I want you here, Jesus. I want your Holy Spirit here. God, we want to be a beacon of light for our community. We want to be a place where the prisoner finds freedom, whether that's in us already, but actually for our community too. God, we know that your Spirit can move. We've seen you do it before. So God, would you move in this place? Would you move in each one of our hearts? Help us to know that you see each one of us, that we have each a part to play. It's not just on a few, it is the many that have a part to play. So God, would you inspire us? Would you break our hearts for our city? God, would we help us to remember that it's you and you alone is the only hope of the world. It's not by putting on a nice church or having nice pastries. You and you alone, Jesus, are the hope of the world. So Holy Spirit, we ask you to fill us now. Come and fill us. Come and have your way with St. Leonard's. Come and have your way with us as a people. Come and move in power in this area of this city. God, we are desperate for you. We want revival. I want revival. I'm going to pray again and again for you to move in this city, for people to see that they are loved and known. They are loved by the King of Kings, and there is more to life than the despair that our world offers right now. So Holy Spirit, come and fill us. Amen. I also felt in response that the verse about if you humble yourselves and pray, then I will heal your land. And I've spent a lot of time on my knees in the last couple of weeks getting ready for this. And I just wondered whether there were people here who just wanted to kneel again and just say, God, this is yours. I'm there. I just felt like actually it was a really important thing for us. We are humbling ourselves before God. So if you want to join with me, God, we're on our knees again. We're humbling ourselves before you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God, would you have your way?